Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
If you want the real story behind the NFL, you need the Stinkin' Truth Podcast. Three-time Super Bowl champ Mark Schlereth breaks down the biggest plays, the biggest games, and the untold stories that make this game what it is. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
How about Ryan in Irvine? Ryan, thank you for calling. What's good? What's up?
Hey, guys. So to answer your question, are they favorites? I would say no, they're not favorites. How could they be over Kansas City? I think Kansas City obviously is the favorite, but I mean, I think if Kyle's already, I agree with you guys, if Kyle's already talking about they're considering putting him on IR, I think it's a done deal. I think they've already decided it. They just are kind of slowing down the news, you know, that that's what they're going to decide to do. But I think there's a silver lining in this. I think if he goes on IR and there's no telling whether he's going to come back this season, which we don't know that. And if they win a Super Bowl, it's going to be because of two things. Number one, Brock Purdy had to win some games for the 49ers. Like, he will be the focal reason, the primary reason why they won some games. And that's going to make us feel a lot better about, you know, paying him like a franchise quarterback, right? And then two, this is going to be Kyle's, I think, most challenging season, because I think one of the biggest differences between someone like him and Andy Reid is trust. I definitely think that's like a huge difference between the two coaches. Andy Reid seems to trust rookies a lot more than Kyle does, because he just looks at, hey, if you are really good at one or two things, I'm just going to use you for those things. And then I'm going to give you on-the-job training to get you up to speed with the other things I need you to do. Kyle has a difficult time with that. And so Isaac Guerrero, like, you can even hear in his voice, he struggles to give him, like, a lot of credit. Like, oh, yeah, we're going to be using him and everything, you know. But I think if they're going to be successful this year, it's going to be because Kyle's going to have trust in his young guys. And obviously Purdy is going to be, you know, getting them over the hump in some of these games without McCaffrey.
I wonder about that. Ryan, thanks. I appreciate that. Like, the idea of, okay, the trusting rookies thing, we talk about it with Steve Kerr and the Warriors all the time. We're told by people who play the game that Kyle Shanahan's offense and his scheme are probably the hardest to learn. But if we're going to zero in on Guerrero, I do want to remind everyone, I'm not going to discount your point, but I want to remind everyone that Guerrero literally got hurt this year the first time he touched the ball in camp.
Yep.
Day one. And he was hurt bad. And so as a rookie, when you miss, and he missed at least half of camp.
Yep.
When you do that, you're behind. Now, they did dip his toe in the water on Monday night. Kyle said they liked what they saw. I think that you're going to get more of him. I don't think 28 carries a game.
No.
I don't think that's going to happen.
For J.P. Mason.
Yes.
I do think that you're going to probably see a little bit of Guerrero this weekend, and you're also going to start to see maybe some free agent activity. I mentioned Keyshawn Vaughn a couple of times. He's on the practice squad. He's a Super Bowl champ, having won one with Tampa his rookie year. He's a guy who hasn't carried the ball a lot, but he's been around for five seasons now. Matt Breida is a street free agent. I saw some people talking about Latavius Murray, who's out there. So you could bring in another body to just augment the running back room if he's going to be gone for a while.
Name I promised everybody. Does this do anything for you? You already brought him up today, but you didn't bring him up in this form. Jet McKinnon.
The Jet?
Come
He's
on.
Out there?
He's out there. The Chiefs let him go. He's
Man.
32 years old, free agent. Of course, said some things when he left here that kind of turned people off. And maybe he's dust. I don't know. He's 32 years old and he's had two torn ACLs.
Man.
But he knows the offense.
Sounds more like a biplane to me than a Jet.
Well, he brings the aspect that you sort of lose when you go from Christian to Jordan. Like Mason is a more traditional running back. Christian McCaffrey was such a dual threat. Deebo Samuel, a dual threat. Jet McKinnon, he's real good catching passes out of the backfield. I don't know. Just a thought. Got brought up by a couple of our listeners.
Two rings for McKinnon. He's a two-ring guy.
Yeah, none of them were here.
No, former Viking. Yeah. So maybe he can give you some intel on what Minnesota did 10 years ago.
I don't mean for this weekend.
I know, but I do think that if they make the IR move, they're going to have to add another running back because as it is right now, it's Jordan Mason, 28 carries. And then you've got Isaac Garendo, who's behind and a rookie. Patrick Taylor Jr., and as I mentioned, Keyshawn Vaughn, those two are kind of the same ilk, guys who are like, you know, your fifth outfielder if you're a baseball team,
yeah.
Guys who are just kind of there, and you don't really want to give them the ball unless you have to. I think they had Isaiah Cannon a few years ago, who was that guy the Niners did, and some of these other running backs that just pop up all of a sudden when you're desperate.
Yeah, I mean, you're not looking, I mean, obviously, gosh, like prayers up for Mason's health through all of this, and that's the really scary thing. But yeah, you're right now you're just looking for somebody to come in and do three or four carries a game. That's really all you're looking for, I think. And yes, this is going to lean more on Brock. And it is flipping fascinating when you start thinking about what people wanted Brock to show them before you give him a contract. It's fascinating to think that he may get at minimum a five-game stretch to show you what the offense can look like if there's no Christian McCaffrey. And if your prediction rings true, Dibs, if these guys are 5-0 without Christian, cha-ching! Oh, hell yes!
Yeah, Brockster's millions going up.
You don't think the agent's going to bring that up? Oh, product of Christian McCaffrey. Oh, really? What was his record when Christian didn't play? Well, it was 5-0 and stuff.
5-0.
Yeah. Oh. I mean, of course, Parag's going to get an earful of that.
Especially if he does it against a Minnesota team that will sell out to stop the run. And you saw last year's game where McCaffrey had 45 yards on the ground. Purdy had a 17-yard run, and that was about it for the Niners on the ground. They didn't run it very well because Minnesota is going to sell out to stop the run. If they do that same thing, which it looks like that they did in Week 1 against the Giants, Brian Flores, very aggressive DC in Minnesota, it's going to be a Brock game anyway. I would imagine that Brock Purdy is going to be asked to do a lot in this game because you got J.P. Mason off a short week and 28 carries. This feels like it's going to be more of a pass-happy approach by Shanahan.
888-957-9570. Matty Barrows in 10 minutes covering the team. We'll get the latest. Let's go to Scott in Monterey. Hi, Scott. Thanks for calling.
Hey, gentlemen. Hey, happy Friday. We have a great matchup with the Vikings coming up. So definitely look forward to that. But I just wanted to address, you know, with CMC, if we're looking at the early end of the schedule right now, you know, with if he has to go on the IR for 4 weeks, you know, I feel confident that we could, with the roster that we currently have in place, you know, I feel like we could pull off a few W's there. And hopefully by the time we match up against the Chiefs and the Cowboys, you know, CMC will have enough time to heal up and be ready to go. The good thing about Jordan, though, is that, you know, he put a lot of time in the offseason, you know, catching the ball and getting, working with the jugs machine and all camps from training camp, all reports from training camp. Looks like he's been improving pretty vastly on his pass catching ability. So having him as a three down asset in place of CMC definitely helps out a lot. Obviously, he's the best offensive player in the NFL, so not having him sets us back. But I feel pretty confident that Jordan can hold the load while CMC is still recovering.
Yeah. So, and
anyway, I hope you guys have a great weekend, and let's get a W.
Yeah, Scott, thanks. You.
Appreciate it. I mean, that's what I'm getting at, and take a listen to this. It's not that I don't share that opinion. Jordan Mason was fantastic, and the Niners are not built on one player. You know, I don't know where it goes if the quarterback sits out. That's a hell of a drop off. And that, as I sort of detailed a bunch yesterday, to me, that's a different starting point in the NFL when you're talking about losing your quarterback. The drop off is just so great. Even Tua last night, who did not have a good night prior to him getting hurt, you see what happens on most teams when the backup comes in. It's just like running back, check down, check down, check down, sack, sack, check down, check down, let's go home. So high-level quarterbacks, I think, are different. But other than that, the 49ers are not built on one player, not even Trent Williams, not Fred, not Nick, not Christian. There is a drop-off there. But the game on Monday, Dibs, in my opinion, has given us a little bit too much confidence in terms of what the 49ers would look like without Christian for a period of time. I wanted to throw this into the conversation. What Brian Baldinger said in the morning roast on Monday, or I guess it would have been on Tuesday or Wednesday,
yep,
after the game, and was sort of thrown this idea of, if the Niners have to exist for a period of time without Christian, can they keep up the same level of production?
But you can't play at the same level without Christian McCaffrey. Credit Jordan Mason and everything else on Monday night, but you're not going to play at the same level without him. He's just too much of a force for Kyle Shanahan to move around and put in different positions and exploit matchups in the passing game. But, you know, he has this history now, and I'm the biggest Christian McCaffrey fan there is. But he has this history. He had 400 touches 1 year in Carolina, and he was banged up for much of the next two seasons.
Yeah, I think that's important to continue to put out there. Like, there's a drop-off. Like, there's all kinds of things you can't do.
Fine.
You can still go, yeah, I'm not arguing that they're not still really good.
I'm not arguing with him either, but so there's a drop-off. So you go from beating the Jets by, whatever, 19, you were up, and they made it lipstick on a pig, and you won by 13. So, yeah, you're going to go down a level. Does that mean that suddenly now you're going to lose 13 points a game? I still think that what you have is good enough to beat the majority of the teams on your schedule, especially in the early part of the schedule. So Baldy's right. You can't expect to have that same level week in and week out, but your step down level is still going to be good enough to win most weeks.
I keep refreshing the Super Bowl odds page with this news, okay? And the news, as far as the odds are concerned, is just that Christian McCaffrey is out this week. He will not play this week. But the 49ers have suggested they are considering over the next 24 hours putting him on IR. That would mean he's also out week 3, week 4, week 5, and maybe longer. And as we stated off the top of the show, the 49ers Super Bowl odds were plus 550, narrowly second behind the Kansas City Chiefs, who are at plus 500. You got to go all the way to plus 1,100 to get the next group, which is now the Lions, Eagles, and Bills. After their performance last night, they're now 2-0. So the Niners were plus 550 prior to this news, and now are at plus 550.
Yeah.
The exact same place they were before. Vegas has not moved the Niners a muscle after this news.
For the future, and if he goes on IR, I wonder if that then changes the number.
I wonder.
Maybe it goes to plus 600. I don't think it moves that dramatically. I do know that the spread has gone from 5 to 4.5 over the course of the last few hours. And maybe the move happened before the McCaffrey news, but I'm seeing it now at BetESPN, ESPN Bet, at 4.5.
Yep.
So
me too.
I wouldn't expect it to move much further than that on the McCaffrey news, especially when you think about what happened Monday night with Mason.
We're sponsored by Chilton Auto Body. We're taking your calls all afternoon, 888-957-9570. McCaffrey's out week 2, possibly going to IR. Are the 49ers still the Super Bowl favorite with that news? And if he misses the first 5 games, what do you think the record will be after that? More of your calls, plus we enter Matty Barrows of The Athletic into the conversation coming up next on Willard and Dibs.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
If you want the real story behind the NFL, you need the Stinkin' Truth Podcast. Three-time Super Bowl champ Mark Schlereth breaks down the biggest plays, the biggest games, and the untold stories that make this game what it is. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Now, back to Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Real quick, just letting you know, I was watching something from the insiders on NFL Network where Ian Rappaport sort of echoing what you and I have been saying all day, which is that when a team comes out and says we're like considering putting them on IR, almost assuredly means they're about to put them on IR and that tomorrow would likely be the day they're going to want to do it by tomorrow. So just to sort of like set the table for everybody, the news is that Christian McCaffrey is out for this week, but we all consider it a very high likelihood that he is about to head for injured reserve, which would force him at least to be out weeks 2, 3, 4. And 5.
Yep, and the announcement, if it happens, likely to come tomorrow in time for them to make a roster move, you would assume, and we'll ask our next guest about what he thinks that might look like.
And that's Matt Barrows on the River Islands guest line, and we go out to him now, but we have to start, instead of asking about Christian McCaffrey, we have to start by congratulating him, because based on today's news, I'm pretty sure you now run The Athletic. Is that correct, Matt?
Last man standing. Yeah,
I mean,
sure.
It's yeah.
Me and Marcus Thompson are the two pillars now on the 49ers beat. I should say that we are going to be adding some folks to that. It's being settled right now, but there will be some movement in the future.
All right. They used to call it The Athletic. I call it The Barrows until further notice. But let's get to what everybody else is talking about. How does this news grab you? And what do you think a 49er fan should brace for right now with regard to Christian?
Well, I think you're absolutely right. I mean, 2 days ago, the prospect of IR caused Kyle Shanahan to say, yeah, I never even considered that. We thought about playing him against the Jets. 2 days later, it's totally different. What happened was the 49ers had their hardest practice of the week on Thursday, and McCaffrey didn't react well to it. Shanahan said that the pain that he was experiencing after that practice was the worst it's been since this became problematic in early August. So he's going in the wrong direction. It's not getting better. And, all signs point to IR. All signs point to it happening tomorrow. And then the question would become, okay, is it just 4 weeks? Or is it longer than that? Because that's been the nature of this, is that it starts to go away. Everybody starts to feel better about it, optimistic about it, and then it comes roaring back. And so my sense is that Christian McCaffrey is a guy that has trouble resting it, that he wants to be out there. He wants to be working. He wants to be practicing. But I think that what it requires right now is just him being off of that calf, him not running around and practicing, and then seeing if it resolves itself on its own.
Do we have any idea when the genesis of this injury was? We've heard reports that it was sore going back to last January. Has it been something, Matt, to your knowledge, that's lingered since then all the way through now?
I asked him exactly that yesterday, and he was clear that it was not related to last year's calf injury. So apparently, that happened in week 17, that game against the Commanders. And then he was ruled out for the following week game against the Rams. And nobody really took it that seriously because most of the starters didn't play in that game.
And then, of course, they had the bye. And then he was on the injury report for the Packers game, the divisional round game. He practiced that week. I forget whether he even had a questionable status. I don't think he did. And he played and played well in that game, and everybody totally forgot about it. So, and he was fine for the Lions game, wasn't on the report that week, wasn't on the report for the Super Bowl, looked really good in both of those games. So I think it resolved at that point last year. And Achilles was never part of the equation. It was just calf. So I think that's right, that it's not related to that calf injury from last year. This is something new. And obviously something that just won't go away.
Okay, Matt Barrows, The Athletic, with us. So I think that that's something fans would like to know more about, which is sort of like the timeline of the entire summer. You know, like, he got a new contract this summer. Is this something that at that time the Niners either didn't know about, or did they just think was going to go away, or was it just not even there at all?
I mean, that it just throws another complication into it. In the 23 offseason, we were all surprised that he was out there in the spring. Very few veterans are practicing in OTAs. He was out there, and he was practicing like he was getting ready for the Super Bowl. I mean, these were kind of full-on practices. And then he was there for the summer as well. Wasn't quite as intense as that. He was getting regular rest days along with Nick Bosa and everybody else. This past spring, the 24 spring, was entirely different. He didn't take part in the spring, but also was going through contract negotiations, and then also was getting married, and there were all sorts of things going on in his life that sort of explained, okay, why is he not on the field this May, whereas last May he was. So I don't know whether the calf was an issue at that point. He certainly didn't start training camp with it being an issue. I think his last full day of practice was August 4, so that's almost 2 weeks, a week and a half of practicing that he did early on in training camp. So, from what I know, that's when this calf issue became problematic. Now, did it become calf / Achilles later on in the process? I don't know about that. It certainly started with a calf.
Man, and that's just troubling to think that it isn't something that lingered from last year. It might be a totally separate issue, a separate injury, and now here we sit with an IR stint possible. Matt, where are we with the running back room? And I don't even know if they need a room right now. It's just maybe Jordan Mason and Coach Turner at a table, but what do you expect him to do with the running back situation?
I think that's a good point, that Jordan Mason is the guy that can handle a bigger load maybe than the average back, because he is bigger. I wrote about it this week. He had a really good off season. He trained with Fred Warner, which gets anybody in shape for the season. And so his stamina is really good, and we saw that in the summer, because it wasn't just Christian McCaffrey that went down with an injury. It was Elijah Mitchell. It was Isaac Grendel. It was Patrick Taylor Jr. Just about every running back on that team suffered a multi-week injury at some point, except for Jordan Mason. And I should add Cody Schrader, the undrafted rookie, also was healthy throughout. He got scooped up by the Rams. So he would be in play right now if he hadn't. But to answer your question, it leaves Isaac Grendel and Patrick Taylor Jr. As the two other tailbacks on the 53-man roster. And I asked Shanahan about Grendel today, because Grendel was one of those guys, as I just said, that missed, I think it was probably about 3 weeks with a hamstring strain. And so we're getting to the end of August, and there's a big question about whether he even makes the 53-man roster, because he just hadn't practiced at all, hadn't put on pads. But then, of course, he does come back, and he has a very, very good final preseason game against the Raiders. And that assures the 49ers that, okay, we can keep him on the roster, and we can kind of bump him up in the pecking order if there are injuries. And all of a sudden, there are, and he's basically the number two back for the beginning of this season. So, if they do want to start giving Jordan Mason more rest. If they do want to kind of take a little bit of load off of Deebo Samuel, which I imagine they would, 10 carries is a lot for him. I can't see him getting 10 every game for 17 games. I just don't think that's sustainable. They're going to have to start working in one of these other guys, and the first guy on that list is Garendo.
Matty Barrows, The Athletic, with us here on Willard and Dibs. Matt, you know what I find funny, and I'd love a reaction from you, is sort of like the way the goalposts have gotten moved by 49er fans in the last week. If you had asked any of us a week ago, hey, can the Niners win for a while without Christian? Everybody would have been like, hell no. So then Mason goes out, has one good game, and we're taking calls all day of everybody who's like, yeah, no, they're still the Super Bowl favorite. Like, have we sort of swung in the opposite direction a little bit too far in our confidence in the offense without CMC?
Are you asking if the fans have overreacted?
Okay, fine, maybe it was a dumb question, Matt.
That never happens. I will say that the fan base has been clamoring for Jordan Mason for a year now. I mean, they've been watching him come into games at the end of games since his rookie season in 22, and he's looked great. He looked like a throwback running back. He looked like Marshawn Lynch, has the same number as Lynch. So people have been waiting to see what he could do in a featured role for a while, and when he got in, it's exactly what people were envisioning. So, the fan base identified him a while back. I think they're right. He does seem like somebody that can carry this team for a month. My question is, what happens if they overuse him? What happens if he didn't escape the summer entirely unscathed. There was a hip issue at one point, I believe. He didn't miss more than one or two practices. But it's possible. 28 carries is a lot. I feel like if anybody can handle that load on the 49ers, it's Jordan Mason.
Could there be a possible reunion with Matt Breida if McCaffrey eventually goes on IR? What was that parting like when they eventually cut him during cutdown day?
Yeah, the feedback I got was that he wasn't interested in a practice squad spot. He's at a point in his career where, okay, if you want me, put me on the 53-man roster. If it came to that, the 49ers needed another running back on the 53-man, yeah, I think he would. When he came in, he did not look like the Matt Breida I had been watching in 2017, 2018. But he started to work his way back to that form. I thought he got better and better, which is what you would expect. So I don't know what the ramp up would be if he came back. But, yeah, I think he would be on the short list of guys if they needed to bring somebody in. They do have a running back, Keyshawn Vaughn, on the practice squad right now. I think he'd be the next guy up if need be.
Matt, we had our show Sports Doctor on a short time ago, Dr. Nirav Pandya with UCSF, and he characterized the fact that Kyle Shanahan said today that yesterday was Christian's worst day in terms of pain. He characterized that as super concerning. The need for rest, okay, but the fact that this seemingly sort of like got worse as they tried to ramp him up for a game. What did you view being there in front of the actual people talking? Does Kyle look super concerned to you?
I mean, the tenor has totally changed since 2 days ago when he basically thought that the prospect of IR was outlandish, out of the question. Now it's probably going to happen tomorrow. So, again, they keep expecting this to get better. That's the nature of this injury, is that it gets better with time. I talked to my own orthopedist source who said it almost always resolves itself. Now, it has to resolve with rest a lot of times. And, Christian McCaffrey has not been resting it like you and I would. He hasn't been going as hard as he normally would, but he's still been practicing, and you still see him out there. He's testing it. So it was a hard test that he gave it yesterday that, you know, it did not go well. And presumably it did not go well, now I'll say last week, you know, earlier in the week when they were playing the Jets as well, which is why he didn't play against them. So it's not going in the right direction, which I think is going to kind of change the 49ers' approach to it. And I can only assume that we're talking about more rest, like real rest, like Dan Dibbs rest, like just sitting on the sofa.
Yeah.
You know, eating bonbons for a few weeks type of rest.
Do you have a camera at my house, Matt? Yeah, you kind of owe me there. Yeah, I'll take that as a yes. The Athletic has a very far-reaching scope. Matt Barrows here on 95.7 The Game. In a weird way, does this become some sort of a boost to the Brock Purdy campaign for a contract? And what I mean is, Mark and I talked about it, if McCaffrey's out, you're going to lean probably more on Brock Purdy. Is this a chance to quiet more of the doubters playing football without one of your best players?
Yeah, sure. The big critique of Brock Purdy is that he's just a product of all the special weapons around him and didn't have probably the most special weapon on Monday. Another one of those weapons was clearly not, you know, in peak form in Brandon Ayuk, and the 49ers still won. I mean, it wasn't a big Brock Purdy day, but I thought it was a good outing for him. It was just the right type of sort of mature performance that you would need in that circumstance, and he delivered it. I don't remember any balls that were, you know, even close to being interceptions. It wasn't perfect. Everybody seemed a little bit rusty, but I can only imagine when Ayuk is sharper, when Debo's not being used as a running back, that's going to help the passing attack.
Speaking of Ayuk, he was really good in Minnesota last year. Are we expecting his full complement of snaps on Sunday?
No, I don't think so. I mean, it was he got 60% of the total. He's usually a guy that's up around 95%. His stamina is impressive, and that's one of the reasons why the 49ers like him. He never really has to come off the field, because he's the same guy down in and down out. So I would imagine it's somewhere between 60% and 95%. Maybe they get it up into the high 70s for this game, and then maybe into the high 80s for the Rams game, and then maybe by the time the Patriots visit at the end of September, he's back to his normal allotment.
Matt, it's great to have you. Thank you so much, and congrats again for taking over the Athletic.
You're welcome. Thank you so much.
All right. There it is.
There it is.
Matty Barrows. He's in charge of the Athletic because he's the only one left.
And he's so big now, by Monday, he probably won't take our calls anymore. Oh, so man, it's been probably good having him on. Yeah. It was a good run with Matty B.
And he will never. In fact, he's going on IR.
Possibly.
We're going to try again in maybe 5 weeks, see if we can get him to answer our calls.
And he had me with couch and bonbons. Yeah, that the old me, certainly 25 pounds ago,
the old
that's
year.
How I rolled.
That's
I'm
going
right. to eat it.
Yeah. Now it's same couch.
I'm a fat red pumpkin.
Used to be. Now it's celery.
It is football season.
Yeah.
You're going to let a couple of them just
let a couple
for winter.
We'll
just
let a couple go.
Pack a couple back on.
By the time we get to Monday, though, those pounds are back off, baby. You got to keep them off by Monday.
Yeah.
That's right. You like that, Grandy?
I didn't know you had that in there,
that
Grandy.
That was from earlier this week. Somebody was talking about the hippie lettuce. And I was like, see you on grass, bro. Yeah. Because I was saying you should hold McCaffrey out until you get back on grass, man. Yeah. Yeah.
By the way, there's a bunch of sort of, you know, stardom, sit-em, kind of whatever. All the injury reports all come out. Jordan Love only got listed as questionable for the Packers.
What are we doing? I mean, what are we doing with...
I don't know. What are we doing?
Well, you don't have to declare him as out until, what, is it an hour and a half, Granny, before the game when the final declaration comes out? Okay, so he's questionable. Thanks.
Are you saying that he ain't playing?
I'm saying that he's not playing.
Yeah, I agree with you. But you could have listed him as doubtful. Could have listed him as doubtful.
Doubtful is out. Like, usually, 99% of the time, doubtful becomes out.
Kenneth Walker, Seattle, doubtful.
And he played?
No. This week.
Oh, they're not playing.
Higgins, doubtful.
Yeah, they're not playing.
Yeah.
And that's the way doubtful goes. Doubtful is almost an automatic no. Questionable is legit 50-50. So Is he 50-50 to play?
No. Questionable is we want you to prepare for both quarterbacks.
Questionable means I don't have a television.
It's exactly what the 49ers did with Christian McCaffrey last week.
And I do believe that he was questionable at that time.
Yeah, but,
on Friday.
But they probably knew he wasn't going to go out there and be Christian.
Right.
You know what I mean? They knew.
But they don't have to put that on the injury report.
No, of course not. Again, I'm not suggesting anything.
We're going to play Brandon Ayuk 60% of the snaps.
NFL has already cleared him. But I'm just throwing a bunch of those in there. Jordan Love's questionable. Walker's doubtful. Higgins is doubtful. Jake Ferguson, Cowboys tight end, doubtful.
And what do you do if you have a Packers receiver? Say, I don't know, Jaden Reed.
Questionable.
He is questionable.
Also questionable.
Right, but do you play him knowing that you have a backup quarterback? That's where fantasy gets to be. You got Malik Wilson throwing to your receiver?
Or Willis, either one of them.
Isn't that what I said? I said Wilson?
You said Wilson.
Okay.
It's Willis. Anyway.
Whatever, Grandy. I've had a big week.
Oh, hey.
You can't bring me down.
Fade the Devers in 20 minutes.
Yeah. Good luck with that.
Yeah, fade the Dibbers.
Congrats, Dibs.
Yeah, thank good
you.
Job. Hey, way to go.
Thank you.
I went with you, and we won.
And
we won last night.
We sure did. And not only did we win, but they lost. Lucas faded me and lost. And Grandy, he actually liked Buffalo, but he couldn't bet it because I liked Buffalo.
Lucas was clapping like a seal at Pier 39 when you made that pick because he was sure that the Dolphins were going to not only win but cover. I told you the Bills were going to win.
Yeah. It's a rough day for the haters, huh, Dibs?
Totally.
Dude, that was Ottoman.
Well, coming up at the top of the hour, I will give you my 49er Viking lock.
Ooh.
As I look for my fourth consecutive win. All I do is win, 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 no matter what.
Number four.
That's right.
Fade the Dibbers.
Yeah, good luck with that.
At your own risk.
That's right. Your boy's hot.
At your own.
Hot.
I'm going to let you do hot because it's three. I told you, it's like Will Ferrell. You can't yell we're going streaking until you've got three. Two is not a streak. You tried to do it after one. I think I got
that
the text from you.
That was a nice bounce back. It's hot.
Dibbers is hot. No, you picked one correct.
3-1 on the year.
Three in a row.
And I got a Sunday pick, and then we'll come back Monday, and I'll give Mr. Monday Night. We'll weigh in on Monday Night Lock.
Who's playing Monday Night? Is that the Eagles and
waiting all day for Monday Night. And the Falcons.
Yeah, the Eagles and the Kirk Cousins. Yeah. That ought to be interesting.
Philly by 6.5.
Yeah, because Kirk Cousins can't move.
That's a big number.
And is on prime time. Kirk Cousins on Monday Night.
Good point.
You know what happens there.
Yeah, he shrivels. He shrinks.
It was shrinking. You like that?
Ah, man. I like rooting against Cousins because only of Matt Stein Mets. That's the only reason.
I really enjoy Fade the Dibbers. It's really already been fun. It's four games.
It's great.
It's really fun.
And it's tough. I mean, to be in not so much your seat, but for Grandy and Lucas, who have done so well going against me for so long.
Yeah.
It's hard to like double down when you're going up against somebody who's on a streak.
I go game by game. You know me.
Yeah,
I don't just automatically fade the Dibbers. I tell you, I'm like, no, yes, fade him here. Not there. I told you last night, Bills are going to win that game.
They are on auto fade. And that's like Lucas automatically.
Yeah,
that's
tough.
And, you know, Grandy right now, he's kind of stuck. His head and his heart. His head tells him fading me is the right thing, but his heart's like, I don't know. Something about Dibs, I'm starting to like him a little bit.
Isn't that like a Christina Aguilera song or something? My mind is saying no, but my body's saying yes or something
Look
like that.
You.
Isn't it something like that?
Yeah.
Attaboy, Grandy.
Genie in a bottle, Mark. Genie in a bottle.
To rub you the right way.
Totally.
All right. That's enough
that
of that.
That was Johnny Gill, but go ahead.
888-957-9570. If you have not heard what happened at the Niner facility early today, from Kyle Shanahan, we will let you hear his directed comments about Christian McCaffrey and about Jordan Mason. McCaffrey is out for the game on Sunday. They are considering IR. As we've said, as Ian Rappaport said, if you're considering IR publicly, it almost assuredly means IR. So let's go on the very educated guess that Christian McCaffrey is at least out for the first five games of the year. With that being said, are the 49ers still Super Bowl favorites? And what do you have for their record 5 weeks in at Minnesota, at the Rams, home to the Patriots, home to the Cardinals? 888-957-9570. We will take your calls for the rest of the afternoon and evening and tuck in a little Fade the Dibbers. We're presented by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking. with no compromises. Your call's next on Willard and Dibs. My mind is saying no, but my body's saying yes.
Now, back to Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
It is. It is 5 o'clock on a Friday.
Yeah, it is.
And things have been known to get weird.
You usually start uncontrollable laughter here coming up in this next segment.
I think this is perfect. This is exactly what Christian McCaffrey's been trying to tell all of us for the better part of 2 weeks. My mind is saying yes, but my body's saying no. It's a little bit the other way around.
Yeah.
There
my body's
go.
Saying let's
my
go.
My body's saying no go.
My Achilles said no. Is how that went. There you have it.
Yeah.
1999, this song came out.
No.
Yeah, dude, 25 years ago.
No, stop. Take it back.
I can't.
You did not just say that to me.
I had to Google it. 99.
Damn.
It's the amount of things that are now.
You got to Google it.
The things that are around me in my world that are now 25 years old or older.
25 years old?
A lot of years now.
That's I was in Boise, Idaho in 1999.
I'd only been fired once in this business. Actually,
I was playing wheel roulette in Boise, Idaho in 1999.
I was doing traffic on a Christian station down in the peninsula. Jesus loves you on 280.
I mean, I would imagine on all the freeways.
Well, especially 280.
Oh, that's probably a good point.
Yeah.
It's beautiful up there.
Got a heavenly backup on 87. The Guadalupe Parkway, as you well know. Christian radio. I was a hit until they found me out. Ran me out of town.
Christian radio. That's what we've been doing the whole day.
That's a five.
Come on.
That's a damn five
Come
right there.
On.
That was really good.
Where were you on that one?
I'm with you. You got a five.
Okay.
It's a five.
The pause was longer than I wanted it to be.
Because it was so good and so clever, I had to step back and realize what you were doing. And what you were doing was genius.
Thank you.
It's a rare five out of five.
All right. It's now officially Friday afternoon, okay?
My body was saying whoa, but my mind was saying let's go. Something like that.
All right. Let's dial it up. Where are you? 888-957-9570. Are the 49ers still Super Bowl favorites? We are going on the assumption, and maybe that's not fair, but we put it out front, the assumption that Christian McCaffrey is going to miss at least the first five games of this season because, A, he's been ruled out for Sunday, and, B, the 49ers have already publicly stated they are considering IR. Here's that conversation with Kyle Shanahan earlier today.
Game injuries, Huff will be doubtful, D. Winters is questionable, and McCaffrey's out.
Does Christian need any kind of procedure or anything of that nature?
No procedure.
You said earlier in the week, IR is still not an issue.
That's something we're considering now. Yeah, yesterday was his worst day. It's on and off, but with it yesterday having the most pain, something we're going to be discussing here in the next 24 hours.
Okay, so that was the revelation, which is that yesterday was his worst day, the pain getting worse. And everything I'm sort of learning on the fly, just like we all are from doctors out and about, is this is something that just sort of like heals itself and goes away. But you don't know necessarily when that's going to be. And then Doc Pandya came on our show earlier today and said the fact that they've had all this treatment and all this rest and that yesterday was his worst day of pain is, quote, very concerning. And so that's where we sit. And that's why the assumption is he's going to go on IR. And that means at the best case scenario, he's back for a Thursday night in Seattle week 6. So the question is, when he returns, what do you expect the Niner record to be? And the second question is, do you still consider the 49ers to be Super Bowl favorites? You said yes. I said, yeah. And the reason I put that tone on it is I just simply want to see more. I'm. How can you not be optimistic off of Monday night? But that was one football game, and I've watched too many football games or teams do one thing on a Sunday and come back the following Sunday and look completely opposite. So I want to see what this thing looks like for a little bit longer before I decide that the 49ers are just as good with Jordan Mason than they were with Christian McCaffrey.
I get that, and I don't want to come off as somebody who thinks that they're going to be just as good, because they're not going to be just as good with Jordan Mason as they would be with Christian McCaffrey, but I do think the Niners have a certain buffer between them and the Vikings, them and the Rams. When you go down to SoFi Stadium next weekend, that's a home game for the Niners. You can't tell me it's not, and, you know, Matthew Stafford had to go to a silent count. That was crazy. And he'll have to do it again. Yep. And I look at the schedule and I look at the teams. You've got Arizona coming up. You've got New England at home. Those are games where you'll be favored in each of them, barring another catastrophe. So, yes, they're not as good with Mason instead of McCaffrey, but they're still good enough to win all these games. They should be 5-0. After five games when McCaffrey theoretically would be able to come back.
Well, I have a hard time sort of like doing the whole they should be 5-0, because what does this teach us? Matt Barrows literally just said to us a short time ago that 48 hours ago, Kyle scoffed at the idea of IR, and now he's knee-deep in it. So that's how quickly things change. And I have a hard time just assuming, oh, you're just going to beat Minnesota, and then you're just going to beat the Rams. Then I get where you're coming from. They're favored. They're the better team and all of that. But you got to go week to week because things change so fast.
Of course.
Ask a Miami Dolphins fan how they're feeling now about what their prediction for week four was 2 days ago. Everything changes. Everything changes in an instant. So I know that's not like a fun sort of way to respond to it. If the Niners remain healthy, I would imagine that through those five games, they would be at least 4-1. I have a hard time, unless Brock Purdy or something like that is not in there, I have a hard time believing they're not going to beat the New England Patriots and the Arizona Cardinals at Levi Stadium.
Yeah.
I have a hard time with that. And then these next two road games, like, yeah, you'd think they would get one, if not both. But we're still learning these teams, man. Like, yeah. Is Minnesota good, or were they playing the Giants? That's the first thing I'm looking for this weekend.
Having watched a lot of that game this morning and yesterday, Minnesota's better than I thought. But when you watch the game and you see what Daniel Jones did for Minnesota, not to Minnesota, what he did for Minnesota, he had two picks that were absolutely hilariously awful.
Yep.
One from his own 15, where he tried to go with the quick throw right, and he threw it right to the defender. He
threw it right in the belly.
Waltzed into the end zone. Minnesota didn't do a lot offensively. Justin Jefferson, a quiet game. Sam Darnold, I like him, but he's a little bit languid, a little bit slow when he gets back there in the pocket and he goes to deliver the football. He's not electric. The one thing that does concern me a little bit is Aaron Jones.
Mm-hmm.
You saw him last year in the playoffs for Green Bay, and he is a load. He's fast. He's elusive. He's tough to bring down. So if they can establish the run, Minnesota's got a chance.
Quick aside on that one, I don't understand what the Packers were doing, letting Aaron Jones go in favor of Josh Jacobs. I don't get that. Aaron wasn't more expensive, was he? That doesn't make any sense to me.
Was it a free agency
thing?
Yes,
they just let him walk, and then they signed Josh Jacobs instead. And Josh didn't get like a truckload of money, but I don't think Aaron did either. I think Aaron got less to go to Minnesota. Josh is younger. I understand that. But he's coming off of a disastrous year with the Raiders. You could blame the Raiders for that if you want. But I've always been a big fan of Aaron Jones, and I think it was Matthew Berry, the fantasy guy, who sort of coined on Twitter every year, free Aaron Jones, because he's like, he's really dynamic, but they never let him really cook. They never let him just be like, dude, just be a 20 carry per game guy. You know, it's all A.J. Dillon or whatever, always alongside him, and then they finally just let him go. And I think the Vikings have a real dual threat now in terms of the run-pass game with Aaron Jones there.
Yeah, probably the age, just looking at the contracts. Minnesota signed him for 1 year and $7 million. So Jones has got just the one-year deal. Jacobs signed for $4 and $48 million.
Yeah, but what's guaranteed? Because I've heard the way that Jacobs thing is structured is they could easily get out of that thing after 1 year also.
Okay.
You know what I mean? And again, yeah, even if you can't, you paid more. You're paying more, like significantly more for Josh Jacobs than you are Aaron Jones.
Yeah, the dead cap hit after this year would be $9.3 million. So that's you know, you can get out of that. It's a 4-year deal in principle, but he got, you know, a lot of it up front in a signing. The signing bonus that he got was $12.5 million prorated throughout the 4-year life of the deal. So that's where the dead cap hit would come if you got off him after this year.
Yeah.
I mean,
we need to see more. Like, what does Jacobs look like? He did not look good against Philadelphia. I mean, in a game in Brazil where the Packers scored almost 30 points, they did not get much from their run game. And now, with Malik Willis coming in, you'd figure they're going to lean on him even more. So I'm interested to see that one plays out. But anyway,
it's my running back.
It's a long way of saying, like, I agree with what you're saying, which is, I know, you know, now coming off of a game against Breece Hall, we've sort of decided, oh, the Niner run defense is back, can't run the ball against them. Well, we'll see. We'll see, because it was only 3 games ago that Jahmyr Gibbs and David Montgomery did whatever the living bleep they wanted to do for about 2.5 quarters at least, if not more, against the Niners. Now, Gibbs fumbles. Dan Campbell starts calling 4th downs. Ball goes downhill. But I that's why I say, yeah, still Super Bowl bound or Super Bowl favorite or whatever. So long to go. But I say it that way because, hey, you just got to see more. Is the defense going to perform like that against Aaron Jones also on the road? Hope so.
Right, and I do think that a lot of it last year was the scheme, not to blame Steve Wilks, but the defense never looked like they were all on the same page. They were never that ferocious, and you got into the playoffs, and whether it was scheme or fatigue, whatever it was, you're right. They started getting run on like we aren't used to seeing it. And 1 week in, yeah, they look great against the Jets. Everything went their way. I do like what the Niners have done to their defensive front. They've gotten a little bit more depth, and especially in the interior, if Hargrave could have a better year this year, they're going to be a problem in those A and B gaps.
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco, and Odyssey Sports Station, always live on the free Odyssey app, Twitch, and YouTube. Powered by First NorCal Credit Union for a low-rate auto loan. Apply online or just ask for First NorCal financing at the dealer.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to LinkedIn.com/results to claim your credit. That's LinkedIn.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
If you want the real story behind the NFL, you need the Stinkin' Truth Podcast. 3-time Super Bowl champ Mark Schlereth breaks down the biggest plays, the biggest games, and the untold stories that make this game what it is. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norse sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.